Did everybody get a communion cup? Did everybody get a communion cup? I think sometimes we get so enamored because we seem to do it virtually the same way all the time. We get so enamored to the communion cup that we forget what it stands for. And we forget just how powerful the communion cup is. There's something special about it because we don't celebrate our goodness, we celebrate His sacrifice. If it weren't for His sacrifice, we wouldn't stand a chance. I thank God for all that He's done for us, and I thank God for the communion cup, because He said, I don't want you to forget what I have done. Now, the apostles, they saw it. People, they saw what had happened. But down the line, within the next 100 years, people had not seen it. And those that had other people said, I was there, and they saw it, it was all gone. And so Jesus, being Jesus and being God, He knew what could happen if people didn't remember what He had done. Also, the power of the cross, because on the cross, He literally gave His body and His blood for us. That's why it's so important that we participate in communion and do not forget what it's about. This isn't about, you know, I just want to make sure that I've crossed all my T's and dotted all my I's and checked all the boxes. This has got nothing to do with me. Nothing. What this has got to do with is I'm looking to what He did. I'm looking back to what He did. I'm thanking Him right now for what He did back there. And I know if He did it back there, He can do it up there. So I'm just trusting Him. So go ahead. I'm going to read this scripture and then we're going to participate in communion. For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Let me stop. That's not saying that you're spot free and sinless. What it's saying is you got to have a good attitude about this. Have the proper attitude, okay? But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Let's pray. Father, truly it is an honor and a privilege to be able to go to You, first off in prayer, and secondly to be able to commemorate what You did on Calvary. This is not about us, this is about what You did. Lord, I could never be worthy of what You did. I can never be worthy of Your sacrifice. But God, You gave it freely and said that You make us worthy for what You did. I ask You right now, Lord, to minister to every one of us. If there's attitudes and there's actions within us, Lord, that You don't approve of, that You don't like, I ask You right now, Lord, to touch us, God, in a very powerful way. I ask You, God, to minister, God, in a way that only You can, to help us make the necessary adjustments and to give it all to You anyway, because we can't do it without You. In the name of Jesus, we love You, and we praise Your name, and we thank You for Calvary. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. The Bible said on the night He was betrayed, He took, go ahead and get your bread out. If you don't know how to do it, just pop that little tab over, under, and then pull back up, and you'll see it separated. And you can get to the bread. The Bible said on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it and he blessed it. He said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Eat it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for it all. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Now, pull back. The next tab. And he said, this cup is my blood poured out for you. This is the sign of the covenant for you from me. Drink this in remembrance of me. Drink it. I want you just to praise him. Just praise him. Praise him. Thank him for what he's done. Thank him for what he's done. He's done for me what I can't do for myself. I thank him for what he's done. God's awesome. All the time, God is awesome. Now, get your Bibles out. Turn to Philippians. This was going to be a one-parter. And I've gotten questions asked to me by several people about this. So what was going to be a one-parter wound up being a two-parter, which honestly, it may wind up being a four-parter. Because this week I'm going to talk about the don'ts when you're handling troublesome people. Next week I'm going to talk about the do's. And the following week you want to be here, I'm going to talk about how to handle toxic people. Toxic people. Everybody's got troublesome people in their life. They got people that they just cause all grades of trouble, and but they're good. They're good spirited, but they just cause all kinds of trouble, and you don't know how to handle them. Well, this is what this is about. There's some people that you know that you work with in your family or whatever. They're toxic. It's like poison every time you get around them. We're going to talk about that in. Let's see. Not this week. This week is the don'ts. Next week is the do's. And the following week is the watch outs. Amen. God is so good. All right. So stand for the reading of the word. Go ahead and stand. Philippians 2, 3 and 4. Y'all say it with me. Y'all say it with me. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but at every man on the things of others. Let me pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us, Lord. I thank you, God, for your power and your anointing. I thank you, God, that we do not have to do this by ourselves. And God, we know, Lord, that the Bible has instructions for every problem we have in our life. A lot of books become outdated because they didn't know the new technologies coming, or they didn't know the new things that were coming along, but the Bible is the only book that never becomes outdated, that it always has what we need, and it shows us what to do in every situation. We just have to know how to look for it. But if we do know that, Lord, it's amazing what your word will teach us. We give this day to you. In the name of Jesus we pray. And the church said, amen. On the way down, look at somebody and say, put your cell phone up. Now, look at somebody and say, the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing shall be impossible. Amen, amen, amen. That was pretty cool, I think. I wasn't expecting that one, huh? You know, a lady told me, said her husband was a service technician for a large exterminating company. My neighbor, her husband was a service technician for a large exterminating company. And one of the rules of the company was that he was to confirm each appointment by phone the night before a service call to that household. One evening he made such a call, and when a man answered the phone, he said, hey, this is Gary from blah, blah, blah pest control company. Your wife phoned us. There was a long silence. Then the husband heard the man on the other line holler out, "Honey, it's for you. Someone wants to talk to you about your relatives." I know. That's still awesome. All right. Dealing with difficult people. Remember now, we talked last time, there's a difference in difficult and toxic. Remember that. There is a difference in, y'all say it, there's a difference in difficult and toxic. And you got to know the difference in order to know how to handle them. And we're talking about biblically how to handle these people. Everybody in your life has a difficult person. Matter of fact, you may even be sitting beside them. How's everybody smiling? Everybody's scared to look. They're just going. No, I was kidding about sitting beside them. But I promise you, before the days are with, you're going to wind up dealing with a difficult person. You may be in your family. They may be your neighbor. They may be a coworker. They may be just somebody in the grocery store that you happen to bump into, or they're in the line in front of you or in the line behind you. But there's difficult people and there's toxic people. We've already explained that. So just quickly, I'm going to go through a few things. Then we're talking about, look, did you see that? Watch. It said the don'ts. Okay, next week's going to be the do's. This week is the don'ts. This is what you do not do, or don't do this, all right? And so we got to look. Everybody knows people like this. How many knows people that it's like every time you talk to them, it's, I mean, every time they look in their mouth, it's like, "Oh, God, can they please be quiet?" Look, we all have them. We can sit back and say we don't, but we all have them. We have them in our past. We have them in our present. And I promise you we're going to have them in our future. You cannot, say this with me, you cannot avoid them. Say it. You cannot avoid them. You know, we say, "God, I thought you loved me. God, I thought you were going to put me in a position where I didn't have to deal with these people." And you find out that he puts you in a position where you have to deal with them all the time. So, you can learn how to handle these people. So, again, this is from last time, but this is it. All of us can be grumpy from time to time. A lot of us can be difficult to deal with. And from time to time, we encounter folks who behave in the same way or worse. And when you deal with difficult people, and you will, here's some tips. And here we go. Y'all say, "Lower the plow, Pastor." All right, get ready. Here we go. First off, I want you to realize that there is difficult people, and they're part of your life. I just want to stop here for a minute because it's kind of hard to read those little things. So I'm going to tell you, the first person is the know-it-alls. Anybody got any know-it-alls in your family? Anybody got any know-it-alls that you work with? Anybody got any know-it-alls, you know, that you're kin to? You know, look, they're arrogant. Oh, they don't mean to be. They don't mean to be arrogant, but they are. They're arrogant, and they usually have an opinion on every issue. And when they're wrong, they get defensive. That's a know-it-all. Okay? There's people that have an answer for everything. The problem is they don't know the question. Okay? So first, there is the know-it-all. And then, back up. Then there is the passives. Now, the passives, these people never offer any ideas. They never let you know where they stand. There's guys that come in my office or girls come in my office and say, "I don't understand it. Me and my husband are having a rough time. I think we're breaking up." And I go, "Well, what's going on?" And said, "I don't know, because he's never complained. I don't understand." That's a passive person. You never know where they stand. You never know what they stand for. And pretty soon you're not together, or you're having a problem, or they're not really having a good time. And you say, "Well, why didn't you tell me?" That's the passive person. They're not going to talk to you. And you're going to be surprised when they jump up one day and they're having a hard time. And then there's the dictators, right? They're bullies. And they're intimidators. They don't mean to be, but they are. A lot of times the football coaches and high school coaches will be bullies and intimidators. They don't care whether you play or not. They don't care if they're training you how to be a good athlete. All they want is to win, 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 win. And they come in bully, 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 bully. And they attack you. So look, they're bullies and they intimidate. They're constantly demanding and they're brutally critical. That's the dictators. Let's see. Well, here's one. I love this. The yes people. Now, guys, if you're smart, don't take this one to heart when I say a good thing for you to say all the time is yes, dear. That's not being a yes man. That's being a smart man. Yes, dear. It might prolong your life. Amen. But the yes people, they agree to every commitment. You rarely deliver anything that you... Look, although they agree to every commitment, yet they rarely deliver. And you can't trust them to follow through. Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, that's awesome. You know, just recently there was a problem in our neighborhood. And everybody, yes, go, 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 go. And then when the trouble started, where'd everybody go? Yeah, yeah, yeah. What happened? Yes, people. That's good. That's good. But you don't see anything happen. Then, after the yes people are the no people. The no people, they're quick to point out why something won't work. What's worse, they're inflexible. No. No. I got the answer and no, you don't. No. I'm just trying to tell y'all some of the people so y'all can think about when you're saying, I don't know anybody like this. Already now, you've already got about four or five people in your mind. Amen? So, then there is, look at the gripers. The gripers, is anything ever right with them? They prefer complaining to finding solutions. Matter of fact, they can spot a problem at 100 feet. Pow! Ooh, wow! I didn't realize I was so powerful. Hold on, y'all. I got to fix this back together again. See how fast draw I was? Aren't you glad I weren't in a gunfight? Somebody would have died right then because I wouldn't have had a gun in my hand. Let's see if I can get this thing back together and make it work. Let's see. Praise God, let it work. There you go. Realize the difficult people are a part of life. You cannot avoid them. If you don't deal with them correctly, they're going to sap your energy. You walk around, you don't want to even be around them. There was people at Fountain, you know, and I had to work with some of them. And I hated it because no matter what solution we found, there was always a problem with it. Sometimes I'd even say, you know, if somebody was giving away, standing on the corner, giving away free $10 bills, they would complain because they couldn't get 2 fives. Always complaining. It zaps your energy. It weighs you down. And you can hardly see. Look, how can you be a good witness for Christ if you're all weighed down? How can you be a good witness for Christ if you're so busy being worn out by this stuff, you can't even have that good smile on your face and trust in God? But if you deal with them correctly, both of you are going to be bettered. You hear me? If you deal with it correctly, both of you are going to be better. So here's the don'ts. Here's the start. And there was two we did last week. So I'm going to talk about the two, or however long it was, 2 weeks ago. Here it goes. Ready? Number one, check yourself. Don't be the one that's difficult. Don't be the one being difficult. A lot of times a difficult person doesn't even realize it's them. They don't even realize. You know, David was mad when he found out all the stuff that was going on after he had gone and got Bathsheba and wound up having a baby by Bathsheba and having her husband killed. He didn't even see. He was so, at this moment, was a very difficult-minded man because he didn't see it. And Nathan had to come and tell him. He said there was a man that had all these sheep, but he wasn't somebody else's little ewe sheep. The little ewe sheep was being treated like a child by this other man. He went and stole it, or took the ewe sheep and used it to feed his company. He said, "Let me find that man. He's going to pay for that." Nathan said, "You're the man." Sometimes we're so busy being difficult that we think it's everybody else. If we could just stop and ask God to let us see. And if you have to, God, send a Nathan. God, I'd rather you send me a Nathan. The bruises of a friend are faithful. I'd rather you send me a Nathan than for me to just push off everybody because I'm so difficult. Number two, don't try to change the other person. You can't change everybody. You can try. You're not going to change people. You can try your best, but you're not going to change people. So watch this. You got to understand, first check myself, and now I'm not going to try to change the other person, but we can understand that God's got us. Even when we can't see it, God is working out for our good, working things out. You say, God, I thought you loved me, and now you put me with this person. I thought you loved me, and now I'm going through this. I don't understand why I'm having to go through all this, God. And he's saying, that's why you can be sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. Romans 8:28. God's got this. God's watching. And God knows what he's doing when he stuck you with that ornery person to work with. When he stuck you with that person at the grocery store. When he stuck you with that person wherever. Because watch this. First, am I the one being difficult? If I'm having a problem, before you start going, they're just so hard to deal with, first ask yourself, am I being the one that's hard to deal with? And number two, I can't change them, but I can lead in a way that things happen. So get ready. So there were some don'ts. Be thankful for the difficult people in your life, for they have shown you who you don't want to be. Lord, teach me to let go of my plans and follow your plans. Yours is better. The Bible also tells us, Jeremiah 29:11, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not to abandon you. Plans to give you the future that you hope for. So let's talk about another don't. Don't lecture. I love this. Show kindness to the sandpaper people. You know one reason why God puts us with difficult people? Sometimes God puts us with difficult people because we got some rough edges. And these people are sent by God, not Satan. They're sent by God as sandpaper to sand down your rough edges. Don't shout me down. Sometimes God is allowing this person in your life in order that he can scrub and he can sand and he can work. And when he gets through, things are going to be different. So when you see these people, just like the sandpaper people, the others just pure difficult people, don't lecture. You know what? I tell people this all the time. Lectures can become or can turn into nagging. And when you get around somebody that nags, husbands and wives, I want you, we think, well, the wife, nagging wife. Sometimes it's a nagging husband. Sometimes it's a nagging child. Sometimes it's a nagging boss. Sometimes you are nagging. But watch this. If you become a nagger, you're going to wind up building walls instead of bridges. What's a nagger? All right. Watch this. You and I talk about something, and we really have a conversation, and we really make a decision on how we're going to handle this. And every time I get around you, you have to tell me again and again and again and again. I can't even talk to you without you bringing that up. You know, it's like this woman told her husband they've been fighting, and she had forgiven him. So he said, honey, I thought you said you forgave me and forgot it. She said, I did. He said, well, every time I turn around, every conversation starts with what I did wrong. I said, I thought you forgave me and forgot it. She said, I did, but I don't want you to forget that I forgave you and forgot it. So if you're going to keep bringing it up, especially after you've worked on a solution, then guess what? You are no longer working on a solution. You have become a nagger. And now what's going to happen is that person is not even wanting to get around you because he knows it soon, or she, as soon as they get around you, you're bringing it up again. No room to even breathe. You know, and since nagging usually creates more problems than it solves, save your breath. A lot of times it's just easier to go ahead and present the problem, talk to them, and then ask the Holy Spirit first to open the door. Holy Spirit, open the door. And after you open the door, help me to step through it boldly, but also kindly. And after we fix this thing or talk about it, then God, it's up to you to work on this person, not me. Matter of fact, a lot of things will get a whole lot easier on you if you quit trying to take God's place. If you quit trying to be the Holy Spirit yourself. Let the Holy Spirit do it, because He can do a whole lot better job than you can. Proverbs 15, and one says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. Proverbs 29 says, better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than a house shared with a contentious woman. Look what I put there. Or man. Not just a woman, a man. It does say woman, but also if you look it up, it says a female person, but also can say, it can also look at it as a gender. Also can be a man in some different translations of the Hebrew. So you're right, it does say woman in the King James Version. So the principle is, if you're going to be contentious and fight every step of the way with everything y'all are doing, guess what? Nothing's ever going to be accomplished. So now, let's keep on going. We're almost through. I'm not keeping you long today because this stuff here is some dynamite. I don't want the fuse to blow up on. Here's those people again. Do not see us now. Here's those people, the know-it-alls, the passives, the dictators, the yes people, the no people, the gripers. Watch this. Do not protect them from consequences. Have you ever seen somebody that they'll open their mouth and they'll say something and then somebody else come around them and tell you what they really meant to say? Happens all the time. You turn on the newscast, it's all over the place. What they really meant to say or what they were saying, because they're always trying to protect them from the consequences. On the level we're on, people try to protect people from the consequences. And you know, if you protect them from the consequences, they will never change. The Holy Spirit's working on them, but you're not only are you not helping the Holy Spirit, you are putting up a roadblock to the Holy Spirit trying to help that person get their life in order. So, when you protect other people from their consequences, number one, you're doing them a disservice. And number two, listen carefully, you're becoming an enabler. Did you know that? If there's somebody around you that's always sarcastic and always got a bitter mouth and they're always spewing poison, and you just look over and say, well, that's just the way he is. Or somebody else goes, what are they trying to do? Nothing. They're sweet. You know, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit's trying to work, and you're putting up a roadblock. And you're becoming an enabler. Now, most people don't learn new behaviors until the old behaviors stop working. Woo! Oh, wow, that's awesome. Most people don't stop old behaviors until they realize they don't work. Then they want to do something different. So now, get ready. Hebrews 12, 5 and 6. Have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons? My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives. I get ouchies every day. I don't know about you, but God gives me ouchies. I go, oop, I did that wrong. Oop, help me God not do that again. Oop, I am so sorry, Lord. How many get an ouchie at least once a day? I do. Amen. It's okay to get an ouchie. When you stop getting ouchies, you better watch out. You got a problem. Okay? So don't protect them from their consequences. Let's see this. Recognize when you're dealing with a high drama person so you don't get caught up in their show. I started to put up there, not my monkey and not my circus, but Instead, I put that up there. Recognize when you're dealing with a high drama person so you don't get caught up in it. So now, don't allow yourself to be caught up in the other person's emotional outburst. We're going to go back over that again when we talk about the toxic people. Okay, so now, listen carefully. If someone is ranting or worse, listen carefully to me. If someone is ranting or barking at you, you have the right to turn around and walk away. Can I say that one more time? What I used to do is this. Here's what I do. I go, I don't understand why this is getting so emotional, but I can tell you, if you don't calm down, I'm turning around and I'm walking. I've had some people that didn't believe that. And I turned, I gave them the warning, I told them, if this continues, this disrespect and this barking, I'm going to turn around and I'm going to walk away. They didn't believe it. But after I turned around and walked away, the next time, they started it. I said, and they went, that's right. I told the other person, you need to quit. He's getting ready to walk. I had one person one time say, stay in your lane, girl. Stay in your lane. Don't allow yourself to be caught up in other people's emotional outbursts. Now, remember this. This is hard stuff. Emotions are highly contagious. It's amazing how when they're angry, you can become angry too. Matter of fact, they can get you fighting somebody that you're not even angry with. You get angry at somebody because they're angry with them, and you fight them because they're fighting them, and when you realize what the truth is, you're going, why are they even doing this? This doesn't even make sense. Here we are. Make the conscious effort to remain calm. Proverbs 22, 24, and 25 says, make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man, do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. Woo! That word soul, psyche, your ability to think. You let them get a hold of you, and they'll change your thinking. You'll be upset with people that you have no reason to understand why you're upset with them just because somebody else is. You could be the peacemaker in the whole thing, but instead of being the peacemaker, you've joined in and picked up stones with everybody else. Emotions, let me say it one more time, are highly contagious. You remember, it's important to stay calm. That's what Jesus would do. Two wrongs don't make a right, but three less make a right turn. You got to think about that one. All right. Working with people is difficult, but it's not impossible. I'm getting ready to end it right now. Brandon, you can come on up here and get ready to play something. I want you to watch this very carefully. Today, note to self, today, so I can have peace, I will pray for the difficult people and the situations I'm dealing with. I will not repeatedly rehash everything in my head. I may have to pray 50 times, but that is better time spent and more productive than just dwelling on something. How many times you've been hurt or something's happened to you, and you just rehash it, rehash it, rehash it, rehash it, rehash it. And a lot of times when you're rehashing, what happens is you wind up adding things to it, and you don't even realize you're adding things to it. And what you're doing is you're building up and festering a sore in your soul. And it's terrible. I choose this, and sometimes it's hard to do this. I just go, stop! It's in my head, replaying what just happened or what happened last night. And I go, stop! And I'll say to myself, I'll say it out loud, you will not rob my peace. You will not rob my peace. The first time I turned and walked away from somebody, I felt like I was the guilty party because I turned around and walked away. Well, later on I found out, the person told me, said, I'm so sorry, I was getting irate. And I was just throwing up all on you. It wasn't even your fault. And I was attacking you. But when you turned around and walked away, you made me stop and think. Because when it first happened, I said, how dare you? But after I thought about it, I said, how dare me? There's difficult people everywhere we turn, especially in this day and time. But they can be handled correctly, biblically, and in a biblical fashion, and in a Jesus, what would you do way. Everybody stand. When I was doing some research on this, It was actually funny, because as I was going through and studying this stuff, some of the things that I happened to see, and I said, if I've still got any of them, because I just got rid of them because I didn't want to wind up using them on somebody. Let's see if I can find it. It said, yes, I said, what would Jesus do? And I said, he would show love and compassion, but he would also use a whip and clean out the temple. He says, that's not beyond the question here. I had somebody send me this. If every day is still a gift, today I got socks. Somebody else that I was counseling sent me this, and I love it. They said, sometimes I just want someone to hug me and say, I know it's hard, you're going to be okay. Here's a cup of coffee and $8 million. Well, I can't find the other stuff. Must have got rid of it. Engaging back with that person is not the answer. There is times where you need to engage, but you engage knowing that what you're engaging in is a way to stop the leak. But for the most part, know when to just say, no, this is not getting anywhere. We need to stop. And when you see the Holy Spirit correcting somebody, don't jump in to stop it. Let God do His work. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around. Lord, I know this is some tough stuff, and it's biblical, and it's relevant for this day, especially this day, because there's so many tempers flaring. And there's so many people that have just dropped out and just walked around like zombies, like we talked about last week. God, help us, Lord, to learn how to handle things according to Your Word, to do it in Your way, in a way that would bring glory and honor to You, not to ourselves. And help us to trust You to do what You're going to do. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today, and you're not where you need to be with God, you let troubles push you away, you let troubles prevent you from getting closer, this morning's mighty army is you have to trust God's plan, not the pain. Something's happened. You've dealt with a difficult person, a difficult situation, and it has pushed you away from God instead of drawing you to Him. I can promise you that was not God doing that. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're not where you think you should be with God, nobody looking around, would you just slip the hand up quick. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, bless them, bless them. Maybe you're here today and you feel like a doormat. Because you don't know how to talk with difficult people. It's not a matter of standing your ground, it's a matter of doing what is right. Because when you help them, when you help yourself, you help them. And you being a doormat's not helping them. We're going to pray together right now, and we're going to watch God do something very powerful in our lives. Y'all pray with me. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I dedicate my life and my mission to you. And God, I know there's difficult people that I have to face every day. Help me to handle it correctly in a way that would bring glory and honor to you. I ask you right now to minister to me. And God, if I'm the one being difficult, help me. And God, when I come against these difficult people, help me to help them. And God, help me to see it different. Say it. Help me to see it different. When I do like your word says, I'm not hurting them, I'm helping them and me. And I thank you for it, God. Help me get it right. In the name of Jesus we pray. And the church said, amen. Let's say the Lord's Prayer. Not to say the Lord's Prayer, Ben, I want you to take us out, right? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Amen.